No, it's Just Plain Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly. Tame it to the pilot, tame it to the tame,
tame it to the pilot. Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll-free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'd be glad to. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Ed and Captain Keith. We are your crew today, once again, for Just Plane Radio, the show devoted to the aviation lifestyle and learning to fly. Now, Ed is in the studio with me. Keith is in St. Louis, connected via the web. And if that weren't enough, we've amended our crew or added a flight attendant. No, we've added a super pilot to the crew today, and that would be Abington from the Abington Watch Company. And she is on Just Plane Radio right now. How are you, Abington? Long time no chat.
Yeah, no kidding. It's been almost a couple months. I've missed you guys.
Absolutely. You've been hunkered down, however, working on your commercial pilot's license for some major airline in the Caribbean or something. Is that what it is?
Sort of. I've had my commercial for a while. Oh. I went and worked on my airline transport pilot rating and also my very first type rating. And this was... I basically disappeared from civilization. So this was like the hardest thing I think I've ever done in terms of flying. I'll ferry an airplane for 16 hours over the Pacific Ocean before I'll go through that again.
Really? So, was that tough?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Wow. But this does officially now make you super pilot, which I gave you that title a long time ago. But now you are officially certified as a super pilot because of this new, I don't know, level of certification you have achieved, I guess, right?
Yeah, this is the highest level that a pilot can achieve in terms of ratings. There's nothing above an ATP.
ATP.
So, airline transport pilot, yeah.
Okay, I knew that. I was just testing you. I
know, you know. Just for the listeners.
Right.
I know you know it all.
Yeah, of course.
Only his mind.
What made this so difficult? What was so difficult about this process? Was it just the training was intense? Was it the planes you were trying to learn to fly on or what?
I would say it's a combination of three things. One being the fact that you're involved in a crew. You know, when I fly an airplane in general aviation, it's like me, myself, and I in the airplane. Mm-hmm. So whoever is, even when I'm flying with Sean, with my fiance, it's like, we both decide who's flying today, and then that's who the person is flying. Now I'm in a crew, so there's a captain and a first officer. You do half of the flying, and they do the other half of the flying, and together you fly planes. So there's that. Mm-hmm. The second thing is the aircraft. I've never flown anything that's big. This was a Saab 340, and it's a 29,000-pound airplane with more systems than I think all the airplanes I've ever flown together have. And it's a turboprop engine, so you're not only working a jet engine, but you also have to manage the propeller. And the two of them work together, and then everything else is combined with it. So there's that. And then the third thing is just the intensity of the training, because when you get to an airline level, you have this thing called a PREA report. And if you ever fail at any type of training within an airline training program, it is forever on your training, on your PREA record. So let's say I didn't make it through this training. Right. And then maybe 10 years down the road, I wanted to apply at Delta. They look at my past records.
What, it's like a DUI type of thing or something?
Yeah, like never leaves.
Wow. No, it's it, what it,
from what I understand.
Well, yeah, what it is it actually stems from an airline accident many years ago, and actually Keith's former airline, Comair Airlines, was part of it, that somebody didn't pass their training, but they didn't pass it along to the next air carrier that hired the guy, and then there was an accident, so thus comes a regulation. And it's good in that it will not cover anything up, and if there's a history with a pilot, it shows up, and the airlines can manage safety better.
Okay. Yeah. So it's just about tracking their training and knowing that they're qualified to operate the machinery, that kind of thing.
Exactly.
Okay. So in theory, it should make everybody safer.
Yes, absolutely. But, not in, in theory and practicality, but it does, as Abington say, it adds some pressure to the training that you don't want to screw it up. And there are some of the I imagine some of your tests in the ground school were minimum score of 100% to pass.
We had, yeah, we didn't have any that were that high, but it was definitely not the 70%, you know, you pass with a C. There, you had to pass well.
Greg, it's not like your private pilot written test that a 70 was, 71 was overkill.
Hey, there's always the bell curve, right?
not in the FAA, it's not. But there's in this case, that they have much higher standards than the minimum for your private or your instrument or your commercial written exams.
Well, did that make it, did it take the fun out of the whole process for you, Abington, or did it make it even more challenging and now you feel like you've really accomplished something? What do you think?
Totally the latter. I mean, I enjoy being challenged. I love when my comfort zone just grows when I step out of my comfort zone. So even though it was incredibly intense, you know, I prepared friends and family. I said, even if there's a death in the family, nobody calls me in the next month and a half. Like, I am disappearing from life right now. So,
and that's very common when people go through that training. It is, you know, I'm not available. I'm not part of the world for you know, a month and a half.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, so this process started, well, I don't know, at least, well, about a month and a half ago, right? 2 months?
Mm-hmm.
And it was an intense training process. So you've just gotten back to your home base of operations in Vegas. And now are you done with everything as far as the training part? Now it's just about getting time with other crews and working up some hours with the airline? Is that what happens next or what?
Yeah, so in my class, I was the very first person to finish the training, not because I was a wonderful pilot or anything, but it
You're
was just
a super
how this...
pilot. That's why, yes. She got a cape and everything.
I should be that for Halloween.
Yeah.
We should go trick-or-treating. But I it was just the way that my sim sessions were scheduled.
Wait, did she say sim sessions?
Sim.
Oh, okay.
Sim simulator.
Yeah.
Sorry,
I
gotta stop speaking acronym.
Yeah, and I just kind of make
yeah,
that
my
connection.
Sim sessions.
Yeah, that's a whole nother certification.
Totally different.
Right.
You can fail at that all the time, Greg, so you'll be fine.
Hey, now what?
But no, the simulator sessions were scheduled so that I was the first one to take the check ride and do the type ride. And so I did that on Sunday, and now I get to come home while everybody else finishes theirs. And there's, I think, about five or six other people that are doing theirs, and then they're starting a brand new class in middle October. So all the check airmen, the training managers, are going to be involved with the new class. So once those guys start getting underway in the sim and they have time, they'll bring me back for IOE. And IOE is where I fly for 30 hours on the line with passengers, with a captain, with a check airman, and I'm like, I'm doing the real deal. But I still have somebody kind of overseeing me.
Got it. Okay. So you're they're going to watch you. They're going to, you know, put a little training cap on you kind of thing.
Yeah.
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 Until
hold
you
my hand while I do my pre-flight.
Exactly.
Yeah, stuff like
all
that.
Right. So what was the most challenging part of the whole training, you figure? I mean, you broke it down into three categories about working with crew, working with the equipment, doing the testing, that kind of thing. Was it interacting with the other folks more so than the mechanical side of things for you or what?
Definitely more the mechanical side. I'm not an intuitive systems person. It takes a lot for me to figure stuff out. I never, you know, took apart radios as a kid and put them back together. I didn't do that kind of stuff.
Right.
So,
but you're a social animal.
Sob,
you know, Abington gets along with everybody. You put her in a group of total people she's never met in her entire life, total opposite side of the social spectrum, and she'll be like kicking back and having beers in like 5 minutes. She's a very social animal. I've seen her in this forum, and she's quite well equipped in that arena.
Yep.
And so you know exactly what I'm talking about, Greg, because I can more or less talk myself out of any situation, except when it comes to systems. I cannot talk myself out of a turbine engine or how it operates or what are the other systems involved with it. So that one was my biggest challenge.
Got it.
So
yeah, it's one of those things, Greg, that I've been telling you about when it comes flight test time. You can't bolt your way through it.
Well, you can't say that on the air, Ed.
Oh, oops.
Which explains the bleep you just heard.
Okay,
but hey, we'll chalk that one.
But
up.
You can't fill it so full.
I get a banana.
You
for
won't
that
pass.
One, by the way.
Yeah,
give me a banana.
Yeah.
You rat bastard. Okay,
but you can say that.
You can, of course, you can. You just can't say what you said.
Oh man,
you're giving me more work to do on this show today.
Yeah, I'm gonna keep going then.
All right. Well, we obviously have issues we have to deal with internally on this crew, but you know, I want to delve into some of the other aspects for Abington going through this process and what it could mean to you listening right now. Maybe this is a career path that you could choose. We'll get to that next, right here on Just Plain Radio. Stay close.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and Flight Training Professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Off with Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Colonel, with all due respect, that new jet is a death trap.
It's the 1950s. Everything's a death trap. Now have three martinis, a pack of smokes, and get in that plane.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Ed. We lost Keith. Lost him to the gremlins on the internet or something. We'll see if he pops up before the end of the show. But right now, somebody has captured him.
Well, he mentioned there was a storm going on, so I imagine he lost power.
I think it was a computer virus, I think, is what got him. That's what I'm going to go with for now. But anyway, we got Abington helping us out. And she is a super pilot now that she is ATP certified.
Yep.
Which stands for Air Transport.
Airline Transport Pilot.
Yeah.
Well, don't help him. Let him flounder. Come on.
No, I got two. And then she filled in.
Air. He got air. He didn't get airline.
Oh, well, okay. Well, it's air. That's close. That's worth 50%.
No, I would have passed on the
bell curve. Mm-hmm. All right. So, Abington, you know, going through this training, you know, career counseling wise, and we're going to get to a very specific example a little bit later on the show. For someone listening and thinking that, okay, I have my private pilot certificate now, and I would like to get into the industry, the path that you just took, is that something that you would recommend to someone listening right now?
It's such a hard question to answer because I don't know, you know, what somebody's particular situation is. For me, the reason I decided, everybody talks about, okay, once you hit 1,500 hours, it's what all the flight instructors try to build up to get the 1,500 hours so they could go start applying to the airlines. And I've been ferrying airplanes now for a few years. I've been past 1,500 hours for, I think, almost over 3 years now. Mm. And I've just never considered the airlines. It just wasn't something that was appealing to me. Crash pads don't seem like a good idea at all. Mm-hmm. And
hold on. Crash pads, explain.
Crash pads.
Yeah. So dumb that down for us a little bit. For the people listening.
For Greg.
For the air transport pilots. So crash pads are basically it's like an apartment that has bunk beds and maybe you sleep on a couch if they're taken. But it's a short-term living situation for airline pilots that aren't based in wherever they're flying out of. So they would, maybe they live in Phoenix and they have to commute to LA for their job. So with the airline system, everybody can commute using the airlines, which is nice. That's a kind of a nice perk of working at the airlines, but they have to commute to LA and then maybe they have an overnight in LA or something. So they'll stay at a crash pad and it's $200 a month. You know, it's really cheap, but it's nothing. I mean, you really aren't living in anything above a college dorm and probably even below.
I got it. You're talking about an airline hostel. Is what we're
That actually is a great analogy. Yeah, that we didn't have that word a few years ago to describe them. Otherwise, they probably would be called that.
Okay. Well, no, I brought the two worlds together. You are welcome. Okay. Now I get it. That makes much more sense. Now, what about the training when you took on this challenge? How many people were in your class? I mean, was this a like 10, 20 people at a time, or were you in a much smaller one-to-one kind of thing?
Well, I'm with a small airline. It's Seabourn Airlines out of the Caribbean. Mm-hmm. So there were 10 people in our class. And I've got a girlfriend who started type training about the same time that I did. And she's in a class of 30. I think it's SkyWest. So, okay. It's totally all across the board. But what I was going to say, like, why would I want to do this if there's crash pads and there's low pay and you're working like a dog and, you know, all that kind of thing? Well, for the situation that I'm in my early 30s and I really love ferrying airplanes. Well, you can do that alongside working with an airline. It's probably not something I'll be able to do as much, but I can still do it. And now I'm more qualified to fly bigger airplanes to ferry because I just got a type rating and a Saab.
Yeah.
And it's something where the airlines will only – the way the airlines hire you, and somebody put this a lot more eloquently than I'm trying to right now, but they will hire you when you're in a certain age and you're at a certain time because they can kind of mold you into the airline pilot that they want you to be. They're not going to necessarily hire you if it's your first time applying at 50, 60 years old.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I have a much better opportunity to at least try the airlines. If I don't like it, I can always leave.
Right.
But if I never tried it and then decided to later on in life, it's not going to be there for me. Mm-hmm.
Well,
so,
you know, and another thing that you just brought up is the experience you're gaining going through this. And you have now got this blessing upon you, turbine time. And that's kind of an old boys club in that, you know, if you don't have turpentine, you're not going to get turpentine. And going through a regional or a small carrier like this is a great way to build turbine experience. Because as I've told you many times, Greg, the insurance company rules the industry, not the FAA. And they're going to look at the you know, turpentine in a Saab. They're going to say, okay, that's a real airplane. And you'll be able to write your own ticket later on down the road, ferrying King Airs and all kinds of those airplanes that you probably haven't been able to do up to this point.
Exactly. I think over, I've been flying now for almost a decade, and I have 98 hours total turbine time, and Seabourn averages that a month.
Yeah.
So I'll be building up turbine like crazy. And you're exactly right. It's the insurance companies that dictate what kind of airplanes I'll fly if I'm ferrying. So as much as I love ferrying a small little Cirrus over to Hawaii from California in 15 hours, I'd prefer to take a King Air or something a little bit bigger and only spend 8 hours, you know?
Sure. Now, he brought up the sexism thing. Good old boy stuff.
You know, it really is just that if you're not a turbine pilot, if you don't have that experience, they're not going to let you touch the equipment and fly the airplane and get rated in it.
Well, I understand.
So that's more of an old school way of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
But in reality, it is the insurance companies who are doing that. Also, the pilots flying the airplane, you know, that they're not going to want an inexperienced co-pilot, or they're not going to give an airplane for a ferry to somebody who doesn't have a lot of turbine time.
Sure.
Because you can make mistakes in the turbine that can literally tear apart and cost hundreds of thousands of dollars to that engine very quickly without... if you don't know what you do and you don't know what to be looking for in the startup procedure.
Now, what about guys versus girls, though? You know, is in your class, were you in the minority? I'm just guessing, knowing how the numbers are in the industry there, Abington. You're a rare bird.
Oh, yeah. I was the youngest, and I was the only female.
Now, that possibly could play to your advantage, though, when they're looking for people to, you know, they want to, you know, bring some women up into the ranks. Does that help somewhat, maybe, or do you know?
I don't know if the airline industry has anything quota-wise for hiring women or minorities. I think they really value the experience I had flying around islands, and since that's what they do, that's kind of one of the things they really liked about me.
Yeah, so. Well, and that she's a super pilot. See, it really doesn't matter or what sex she is.
That's right.
Yeah. All right, more coming up on Just Plane Radio.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I've been up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. I'm gonna fly on out of here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere, and you gotta learn to use those wings you can't see.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me, along with Captain Ed from Flight Training Professionals. FTPros.com is a website you can go to and learn how to fly with him. And we're going to hear from somebody that he was chatting with about some career counseling here in just a bit. But in the meantime, we have our good friend Abington from the Abington Watch Company. She just got her ATP certification, which means she can fly through the Caribbean with Seabourn Airlines and take passengers, be a part of a crew. Actually, pretty much run the crew, because you will be the captain. Am I right? Right? Isn't that pretty much how it's going to work?
Depends on the captain I fly with. No, I'll be the first officer.
That won't last long.
Not until I get at that.
Yeah, I'm the first officer. You're the captain. Wink, wink. You know, that's kind of how that's going to go. Yeah, but are you excited about going into the next phase of this, which is actually flying with the airline and racking up some hours in the Caribbean, or what?
Absolutely. Have you ever seen, you've probably seen them floating around Facebook or on the internet, like the 10 most dangerous airports to fly into?
Oh, yeah.
And one of them is St. Martin.
Oh, yeah. Well, St. Martin. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. The approach right over the beach where the people are like jumping up to try and touch the wheels.
Exactly.
So
you're going to be
doing that approach. Yeah.
And cool. I'm going to be the one high-fiving the wheels.
Heck yeah.
Yeah. Actually, I'm heading out that way next week. Abington, you're going to be flying there that soon? Not that soon, right?
I don't think I'll be there that soon.
Okay.
But,
well, we're going to have to coordinate our schedules, because I will plan on being at the bar while you're flying into St. Martin on that runway. Have they already? You've already done some sim training on that specific runway, I'm guessing.
Is not that on true? That one.
No?
No, not on that one. Mm-mm, not yet.
But they're telling you that is a one of the more challenging or entertaining approaches that you would have in your trek with Seabourn? Or what?
That one isn't actually the toughest. The toughest, I think, is Dominica or Nevis. You're like kind of winding through mountains and stuff. So
true. I'm very familiar with both of them, so I'd be a quite a good consultant.
You may be a passenger on a flight one day.
Preferred you customer could be the flight attendant.
More coming up.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
You are now clear for takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
What's the flight situation? Simple. There's no way on earth we're going to get out of here tonight. We'd have more luck playing pickup sticks with our butt cheeks than we will getting a flight out of here before daybreak.
I'm going to fly. I'm going to fly. I'm going to fly.
Hi there. Bob Hoover here. You are listening to Just Plane Radio. Here's Greg, your co-pilot, and some other folks.
Yeah, well, the other folks would be other folk right now. Yeah. That'd be Captain Ed.
Just me.
Keith is lost somewhere on the World Wide Web.
I wonder if he'll stop and ask for directions.
No, that's not his style.
No, it's not.
He's too much of a guy. All right, so, Abington's doing quite well.
It sounds like it. Sounds like she's having fun and worked her butt off to go through training, but that's always the case.
Mm-hmm.
Our good friend Doug is right now in airline training for a 767.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, well, look.
Omni Air.
Hopefully, some people are picking up a few pointers.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe it might inspire them to take a change in their career path. And that's what happened with James.
Yeah.
Who, he sent us a voicemail via justplaneradio.com. You can do the same by clicking on the Get on the Air tab on the right side of the homepage there.
Yep.
And leave us a voicemail. And we may play it back and see if you have any questions, comments, or complaints. We share
The complaints with Greg.
Equally, but we'll air them usually. But anyway, that's what James did. We talked about his question a couple weeks ago, and evidently we didn't answer all the questions, so he had another one.
Hello, this is J.M. Bradley from Ohio, and I heard last week's podcast and got a lot of very good information. I do appreciate that. I wanted to get a little more specific information. Do you have to go through a big box company like FedEx once you become commercial? What I would like to do is a seaplane that would go to the Keys or the Bahamas, whatever goods that they would haul, kind of like a bush pilot up in Alaska, and do something along those lines. Good work on the show, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Well, thank you, James. Appreciate it. And it sounds like a pretty cool thing that he wants to do. I believe he's a trucker. That's what he said before. And he's looking to do something like that similar in the sky.
Yeah.
And evidently wants to do it through the Caribbean and on a float plane.
Yep.
Because I actually know he's a diver.
Yeah.
So he wants to, work and, when he has his downtime.
He wants to have all the good stuff.
As he should. That's what we all want. Just a little bit more fun and adventure. Mm-hmm. And so the way he's thinking... there's gigs like that out there for aviators, isn't there?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not personally aware of a float plane delivery service, but there has to be.
Well, that there's a lot of stuff going on that you probably haven't run across, or I haven't probably run across,
mm-hmm.
over the years traveling through the Caribbean. But
I will tell you, I know for a fact that, well, next week I will be in the Turks and Caicos.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be on one of Clay's liveaboard boats.
Yeah.
Captain Clay. And I know they have to ship stuff into their, you know, into their port of entry at several locations throughout the Caribbean to stock the boat each week.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of times they do that locally, but sometimes when it comes to like boat parts and things like that, they have to charter a flight or have some kind of charter delivery service deliver these parts for the boat and vessels that are kind of unique and hard to get in the Caribbean. So there has to be, you know, I don't know, equipment UPS kind of Caribbean service out there somewhere. Or maybe it is just UPS Caribbean.
Might be UBS.
Yeah. FedEx, well, Caribbean, or whatever.
The, you know, there are a lot of small carriers that subsidize and are contracted to carry cargo to remote locations like that that work for FedEx, fly the FedEx colors or the UPS colors, flying caravans and that type of airplane all over the place.
Right.
So, yeah, that there are probably things like that. But I did have the opportunity, actually, to talk to James. He gave me a call, and we spent about 45 minutes on the phone going over kind of what his thoughts were. He asked me this very question, and we got into a really good discussion about, you know, what it takes to get there, because what he's talking about doing literally would be a Part 135 operator, where he's owning the airplane, kind of like he does with his truck.
Yeah.
He owns the truck, and he, you know, he contracts out the truck, and so I walked him through some of that and the process he would have to go through, the experience he would have to gain, and the time frame it would take to gain that experience.
No, wait, a Part 131.
135.
Or 135 allows you to charter your plane to bring people on it.
But also cargo has
also
to be done
cargo.
That way. Anything that you're getting paid to haul, and the cargo rules are slightly different than the passenger carrying rules.
I would hope so.
But not super significantly.
Really?
You still have to be a cargo 135 operator. Hmm. You know, it's quite a bit of FAA paperwork and time to go through the process to get it approved.
Now, what's the point of that? Why would they care? I can understand when you're taking passengers, but why all the red tape for cargo? Just because you have to know how to lay the weight and balance out?
Because you're getting compensated to carry the cargo. Mm-hmm. And they regulate commercial aircraft operations. And that would be commercial aircraft operations.
So what would be the difference between chartering a flight with passengers as opposed to cargo? I mean, I can understand the passenger thing, but I don't know why would they, other than, okay, yeah, we want to know what you're carrying, maybe.
And just like there's with trucking, there's hazmat rules you have to follow and training you have to go through and recurrent training you have to go through. Same thing with airplanes. You have to have a whole safety plan for it. It is very regulated. And that's you would think it's just a box. Well, the issue is that's the way airmail used to be, and that's why airmail rarely ever got there. It was more reliable to put it on a train than put it on an airplane, because accidents occurred, packages wouldn't get there, you know, and so on.
Okay.
But, you know, so it's all a history of accidents that lead up to regulations, as we've talked about many times over the show. So that's why the cargo operators are also held to the Part 135 standards. As far as the pilot qualifications, they're basically the same, whether it be IFR or VFR. In fact, there was a company here in Orlando for many years called Flight Express that flew cargo, basically canceled checks. That was a huge business for years, flying canceled checks around the country. They all fly at night. They'd fly into a central location, and these checks would be sorted and then sent back out. And that's why it took so many days for a check to clear, is because it had to go through this clearinghouse process. Now, of course, that's all gone electronic, and that's why you got to watch when you write that check. You can't float it, because it's almost instantaneous coming out of your account, or at least being earmarked in your account. But
well, that's assuming that you're using your name.
Well, yeah,
if you're still
using Keith's checks, you're fine.
Well, true.
If you got a check, it's still no. But,
which reminds me.
Back to the regulatory side of it. So there's a lot to go through as far as in the United States. We got into another discussion, and he's got some really cool ideas. I think he has definitely signed on to the Jimmy Buffett lifestyle, that he would like to fly the Caribbean or Southeast Asia.
Where do you think he got that idea from?
What? trips.
What do you think of this whole Jimmy Buffett lifestyle vibe thing?
Oh,
you know?
Right. Scuba radio. You're responsible for everything, Greg.
Well, no. I mean,
could be some Buffett's books.
He's been listening to scuba radio for years, and then we started Just Plain Radio, and you know, he's like, hey, I like that show, too, and I want to be a pilot.
You know, so you know, he's thinking not just the Caribbean, but he does definitely have a dive motive in pretty much everything he's doing. So he's definitely hooked on diving, and he's probably going to get hooked on flying. And he was literally going to, after we got done talking to today, he ended up saying, hey, I'm going to go by the airport and talk to some people. And I told him some good things to ask to make sure that he was getting what he really needs.
Yeah, and he's up in Ohio, right?
Yeah, kind of Canton, Akron area.
All right, so, you know, I told him this on the phone, or when we were, before we had that voicemail initially, I said, dude, you ought to come on down to Florida, do your flight training. It'd be like a little vacation, you know, stop off at Disney World to play tourist, put on some goofy years, whatever you need to do, and make it happen.
Well, and he's talking about something like that for the instrument, the commercial, and the later stages.
But he wants to do the first part up there.
But yeah, he's got some downtime at the first of the year, and he wants to try to see what he can accomplish there. Once again, as Keith and I will always say, you know, get in through the private. Number one, make sure you get a good foundation with a good instructor and a good airplane, because those principles apply to every bit of flying you're doing forever. And do it. To make sure before you invest the large sum of money that it takes to become a commercial pilot, you know, do it before you give up your day job and make sure that it is absolutely right for you.
Yeah, but he wants to do this first of the year in Ohio?
Yeah.
January?
He understands winter.
Does he?
He does.
Can they do that?
Oh, yeah.
It's miserable up there in January.
No, you'll have good weeks, bad weeks. If you really focus on it on the good weather days, you get a lot done.
You don't got to worry about sweating, I guess.
No.
As we would down here, even in January, potentially.
Potentially.
Yeah. All right. Well, you got that much, James. We've helped out as much we can. From here, it's up to you, I guess, right?
But I told him to call me if he had any more questions. We're there for you.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder. Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Off with Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I was flying. Of course I was flying.
I'm leaving on a jet plane. Don't know when I'll be back again.
Pilot. That's me along with Captain Ed. We are your crew navigating the latest aviation news and information and a little career counseling to boot today. And if that weren't enough, we got Tom Haynes from AOPA to help us finish out today's virtual flight. Tom, how are you, buddy? Long time no chat.
Yeah, it's been a while. I'm doing great. I've had an incredible week and already, and it's only, you know, just begun. So lots going on.
Yeah. Now, we got to get an update on this because, you know, you haven't been hanging back in the offices of AOPA lately. You've been on the road like nonstop for the last 3-4 weeks now, it seems like, which is a good gig. Good gig.
It is a good gig, you know, most days, but yeah.
So, I mean, you were up in Alaska last time we spoke, and since then you have done, got into more flight training on your own as well, or what? Fill in those gaps for us a little bit.
Well, I had been doing a little bit of seaplane flying just to kind of brush up on seaplane things right before I went to Alaska, and then did the Alaska trip, and meanwhile got back to the office and then geared up for our Colorado Springs fly-in last Saturday.
Yeah.
And that was an incredible experience. The weather was perfect. And had about 2,100 people show up and 300 airplanes.
Very nice. And, now, was that at really much higher altitude than usual? Did you have to make some special arrangements for that or just plan accordingly? You know,
we provided oxygen for everybody.
That's what I'm guessing. Yeah. Yeah.
If we were there from Florida, we would need the oxygen at 6,000 feet.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. It is 6,000 feet. And then those of us from Maryland, where it's all of 300 feet.
Right.
You know, we were doing okay, but I know that lots of people had dry mouths and chapped lips and all that kind of thing because it's so dry and everybody's reminded to drink lots of water. And of course, for pilots, that sort of elevation means density altitude. And so you got to pay attention to the density altitude as the weather is at higher elevation. And the weather was pretty warm. We were well up into the 80s, almost in the 90s on Friday and Saturday.
Yeah.
And so need a little extra runway, I'm guessing then, huh?
You got to be very aware of that. Of course, the mountains then just to the west, and those get your attention. Fortunately, we had great visibility, so nobody was going to miss them. But on low visibility days, of course, that could get really challenging in a hurry.
Yeah.
So did you fly in yourself, or what did you do?
It was just me and 150 other people on Southwest.
Yeah.
Into Denver, and then I drove down. So I didn't have an opportunity to bring my old girl airplane out to the fly-in in Colorado Springs. That's a little bit far from Maryland. Not that it couldn't be done. I just kind of didn't have that much time.
Well,
plus, I was going to launch on another assignment that we can talk about, too.
Well, yeah, we will. We'll get to that. But you're now certified in the AOPA jet now, right? You couldn't fly that one out to Denver?
No? I am certified in the airplane, but it was full coming
of course
out of Frederick
it was.
With people who are apparently more important than I am.
What?
I know you find that hard to believe.
I do.
I certainly do.
Yeah. But, you know, a big kahuna doesn't have the panache that it used to at AOPA, evidently, as far as having that title.
I guess not.
Big kahuna at AOPA. I don't know. I put in a word for you. Maybe that was downfall.
Now I get it.
Yes, of course.
It's always Greg's fault.
Yeah. All right. Well, you didn't fly in, but after that, you did go back into some flight training. That's what you're alluding to, this next project, or what? What'd you do?
Well, it's not really flight training for me.
No?
I am left from Denver to on a Pilatus PC-12, a single-engine turboprop out of Denver, where the Pilatus U.S. headquarters is, because, you know, they're made in Switzerland. But anyway, we flew to California. And into Camarillo, where we met up with a fellow who won the AOPA Biz Avenue contest, powered by Pilatus.
Hmm.
And he's one of almost 100 people who sent in a 300-word essay to us to tell us about how, if they had access to an airplane like the PC-12, how would they use it to better their business? And he wrote a very compelling story, a tale of how he would use the airplane. And so the winner of the contest then gets to fulfill that mission that they described for us.
Wow.
So
what was it? Do we got to wait for the article to be published?
Well, I'm not going to give you all the details because you're going to have to wait for the December issue of Pilot Magazine.
That's where I
figured
we were
going. But I can tell you that he's in California. He's got a company that's about to really take off, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And So it's a very compelling story, I think, of how a business airplane can really help a company take off.
Now, does he actually get to keep this plane, or is it just one particular project that he's going to execute?
No, you know, this is I'd love for that, but it's about a $4.8 million airplane.
Yeah.
So he gets to experience it for a few days, and he's doing all the flying from the left seat. One of the Pilatus or the Pilatus chief pilot is in the right seat with him, but he is a not a very high time pilot. Doesn't have a lot of experience in high-performance airplanes, so getting into a single-engine turboprop, particularly one with very sophisticated avionics like the PC-12, is a very exciting but also pretty challenging for him. I can tell he's a little task-saturated at times, but he seems to be loving it.
So you're kind of tagging along to cover the whole experience for the article and the feature in the magazine?
Yeah, so I'm riding along, and we're going with him as he goes to these appointments that he's set up, that he's taking advantage of being able to move around the region in this airplane and visiting with customers and regulators and others that he deals with in his business as a way to show what would happen if he had routinely had access to an airplane like this. So, yeah, we've got a photographer with us, and we're shooting video at the same time, and so we'll have full coverage coming up in all of our media channels in December.
Interesting. Well, you know, I didn't enter because I figured it'd be unfair because I'd instantly win. I'd say, look, you know, I want to use this airplane to fly from Orlando down into the Caribbean. I'm going to visit places that look like a Corona commercial. It'll make the best video ever. What else do you need? Really? Come on. This is marketing 101. This will win.
All right. Now, it's always 2016, okay?
Okay.
We'll revisit this.
Yeah. All right. Maybe. I have an in, or maybe I don't. I think I just screwed my chances, didn't I?
Maybe.
All right. Well, hey, look, next week we got a special edition of Just Plane Radio. Tom's going to join us again and talk about some legislative things coming up for the aviation world. So make sure you join us for that. Till then, remember, there's no better high
than learning to fly.
Just Plane Radio is brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plane Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
But just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlaneRadio.com.
I'm going to lead my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plane Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plane Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far. Cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlaneRadio.com.